You don't know that why something makes sense, and it feels confusing, and you're just getting these numbers from somebody else or a software tool, just be aware that maybe you need to take a step back before we write a big check and buy a property, because the last thing we want anybody to do is buy a property and ultimately be underwater on that property. What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution podcast. I'm your host, Sean Moore, and we're here with Mr. Dave Savolich for another segment of Whiskey Wednesdays, where these are short, sweet, to-the-point episodes of we're going to talk about some things going on in our world, a trending topic inside of the short-term rental world, and then answer some of your questions. So always, as a reminder, if you have questions, wherever you're listening or watching this episode on, DM us, comment, and we'll make sure that we answer your question on an upcoming episode. So Dave, what do we got today? What's on the agenda? Today, what do we got? Shiny boy,
we got a good one.
This looks serious. I never know you guys what we're talking about.
When I
see that look, I'm a little nervous.
I saw this the other day, and I thought, man, I got to put this on a Whiskey Wednesday. So here's the option. You can pick two. You can only pick two. I'm going to give you about five or six options. You got to pick two. Okay. First is to be 4 inches taller, 15 years younger, eat without gaining any weight, being filthy rich, like ridiculously, like, you know, like rich, filthy
D,
rich
stuff. Option D.
Yep.
I'll take that one.
1 million followers, read minds for 3 days, or always be happy.
Okay. I'm going.
So you got to get two of those.
I'm going filthy rich and always be happy. That's easy, because the other ones all have drawbacks, right? Okay. They all have, let me see your list. I'll tell you my drawbacks. 1 million followers. I don't want that many people knowing what I'm doing and following me, because I'm not that important. 15 years younger. I need to know, I've learned a lot in 15 years. So I want to keep the wisdom I've learned in the last 15 years. 4 inches taller. I'm already 6'4". I don't need to be 6'8". That's pointless. Eat without gaining weight. I'm not that guy that gains a whole lot of weight anyways.
Yeah.
Kind of been, And then read minds for 3 days. Holy shit, that would be a nightmare. Can you imagine listening to what everybody thinks about you walking up the street?
They're like, dude, like, huh, that guy's weird.
I don't want to know that. I just keep it to yourself. Be nice.
You have to use it to your benefit, like gain some wisdom or some insider stock tip or something like that.
I'm already filthy rich, so I don't care.
Right? Yeah, it's true.
And happy. Yeah, I'm happy
exactly.
And rich.
Yeah.
I mean, what else do you want? What would your two be?
For sure, filthy rich. Like, I want that. But I want to use that money to go on vacations and, you know, that kind of stuff, family stuff. But I want, absolutely, that would be the first. Buy a big piece of land and, all that good stuff. So that'd be the first. And then million followers now, read minds. And there's some intrigue to that, because it kind of might be fun to see really what people think. And you'd be like, really? Always happy. I'm always happy. So I don't really, I feel like I got that. Eat without gaining weight. I feel the same. I mean, that would be nice. But the last two are the challenging one. 4 inches taller. Whew, I'd be in the NBA right now if I was 4 inches taller. So that would have been, that might have covered my filthy rich. I don't know.
You wouldn't have had to. You could have picked another one and knocked out two in one.
Or 15 years younger. Oh, so when I think 15 years younger, I think same wisdom, but just 15 years, you know, body health, you know, better shoulders, better knees, things like that. So filthy rich, and then I probably would go 4 inches taller. You
know 4 inches taller.
Those two. Yeah.
Right. We want that extra 4 inches. NBA dream would have awesome, maybe been realized. Yeah.
Right. Even if it didn't make it, they'd say, did you play in the NBA? And I'd say no.
All right.
That was good. I like that one. All right. Good. All right. Well, let's jump into business. Let's jump into a short rental topic. This came up yesterday. And I thought it was super interesting. You and I talked about it. We had a member come to us and wanted to really dive into a property they were considering buying. And so they asked you, hey, would you help us evaluate it and review this property? So you took the time, take the call, and kind of dive in. Not to get into too many details, but the acquisition price was, I think, $1.4 million. And their expected net revenue at the end of the year was about $125,000. So looking at it on the surface, you're like, wow, that's a pretty good deal. I probably would consider it. And you said, okay, where are you getting your information from? And let's really dive into it. So the moral of the story, or to make a long story short, you really dove into analytic tools, worksheets, our data analysis stuff. And the actual net on that property was a negative like $30,000 a year. I felt like it was a really important topic to talk about today, because I think the expectations of people are sometimes skewed with where they're getting their information and really how they're reviewing a property. Can you imagine if you had bought that property thinking that you were going to gain 125 net annually, and really you come out of pocket $30,000 and you lose money, like that's devastating, especially if you're buying it as a real estate investment property. So I want to kind of dive into that and really make sure you understand how to evaluate properties and review them, but also like it's important of where you get your information from.
Right. And I think it's more the moral of the story is how important it is to really be able to get an accurate assessment of how a property is going to perform. Right. And this was not a member. It was an industry expert. Okay. Right. And so, which is not uncommon. We have industry experts that are in this space doing their thing and very competent, like super like talented at what they do, understands the game, like super passionate about the short-term rental world. Just wasn't as dialed in on the underwriting side of buying these properties and really understanding the income potential or a non-potential of a property. And so it's not uncommon that we do have industry experts call us and they say, hey, Sean, can we sit down? Do you mind spending a couple hours with me? Look at a couple deals that we're looking at. The deal that they were most excited about was they had calculated about $220,000 in gross revenue. And then after all their expenses, debt service, everything else, they were putting about $120,000 in their pocket. And it was $1.4 million property. The cash on cash return was like a 30% cash on cash return. Right. It was really exciting. And they were excited about it, saying, man, this is dialed in. They used a lot of the main software tools out there and, you know, really plugged in their address and the numbers and all the data and felt like they got some good information back. It wasn't like they were just guessing on this. They did some research and tried to find some data and they looked at it on the surface. We were and this is just not to be arrogant about it, but I've seen so many deals, right? And I've analyzed so many deals. So that's why a lot of them call me is a lot of times I can look at a deal and say, okay, where are the holes in this? What doesn't make sense? And there was a few things that didn't make sense. So I said, let's dive in. How much time do you have? Let's dive in and let me actually run the numbers on it, how I would underwrite this. Took about 30 minutes to 45 minutes, ran the numbers, and the revenue potential on a very good scenario was losing them $50,000 a year.
Wow.
Right. And so they're on a very not a conservative basis, like on an aggressive basis, trying to be operating toward the top of this market for what they had. Their gross revenue was like $126,000. So after debt service and everything else, it's a $50,000 loss. They were super grateful. And we looked at, and they understood it. And we used the same tools that they used.
It made
sense
to them what you were showing them.
And it was like, holy crap. And I'm like, I felt like I was raining on their parade because they were so excited and wanted to show me the deal. And at the end of the day, it was a deal that was losing them a lot of money. Right. But they were super grateful because they were like, I'm so glad I didn't walk into this, spend a lot of money, spend a lot of their savings on the down payment, put the deal together, and then ultimately to come to find out a year later that they're underwater on the deal and they're not making any money.
Right.
And that's, right. And I hate seeing that, yeah. right? I hate seeing it. And it's so important to understand how to really accurately assess what a property's performance potential is, because it's always potential and there's always a revenue range.
Right.
And
right.
so, and you have to be able to say, where am I going to lie on this revenue range and where am I coming from? What are the comp sets I'm looking at? What are the good comps, the bad comps? How to throw out the bad data on a lot of these software tools that are spitting out these numbers for us? And many times they give us an unrealistic expectation of what these properties can do. And that's where, you know, we get so like, you know, we don't want people to walk into this and then ultimately have a deal that they can't make any money on. It's really sad when we have somebody that even will join our mastermind group or think about joining our mastermind group and they say, I've got this property, it's underperforming. And we look at it and we're like, you're actually not that underperforming.
Right.
The market potential for this property is just not there, right? You just don't have the potential. And they've spent a lot of time and effort and work and money on these properties and they don't have the potential to make any more money, you know? And so knowing what that the revenue potential is on these properties is so important. Underwriting these deals is so important so that you walk into it so that when you start to dial all these other things that we talk about in, you actually have some revenue potential that you can go realize, right? And it was interesting because especially with this person being as versed in the short-term rental game as they are in the hospitality world, and they're just immersed in it. And we love them and we appreciate everything that they do in this world. They just didn't have this piece dialed in, which is the very first beginning piece for a lot of people. You know, we talked about the fact they called me today and just said, hey, this was really, really helpful and really eye-opening and really humbling to realize that I wasn't doing this correctly. And right. as long as we've been in the game and operating and helping people in the game, it's kind of embarrassing, they said. And it's not embarrassing. It shouldn't be embarrassing. Right. It's, you know, it's great that they're understanding how to do it. It is work, right? And, you know, as many of properties as I've looked at, I could tell on the surface that something didn't look right because I knew the area and knew the profit potential in that area generally. And most of those properties in that area are not getting a 30% cash on cash return out of the gate, right? And so that was the first red flag. So we dove into it. But even as often and as many properties we've analyzed, it's a half an hour to 45 minute underwriting process. It's not go put my address, my bedroom count, and my guest count in a software tool to spit me out a number.
Gives me a yes or no.
That's what they did, right? Yeah. And it gave them the wrong number. And we see it so often. So we use those same type of tools, but we have to really extract the data, understand how to put all that data into its, you know, paint the picture of what this looks like. And so I think the importance of it and the point of all this is to really, really be comfortable with your underwriting and make sure that it makes sense to you. Because right after we did it, they were like, holy crap, this totally makes sense. Yeah, I can absolutely see why and where I messed up. If you don't know that why something makes sense and it feels confusing and you're just getting these numbers from somebody else or a software tool, just be aware that maybe you need to take a step back before we write a big check and buy a property, because the last thing we want anybody to do is buy a property and ultimately be underwater on that property.
One of the reasons people fail in the short-term rental game is that they don't find the right property in the right location. And that's proof in itself how important it is. And we always say this, like, we're going to be brutally honest with you and we're here to help you. And that's why they come to the experts, and that's why they need a process to understand this. Because if you're serious about getting in the short-term rental game, make sure you take advantage of the resources and the things that we've done over the last, you know, many, many years to be experts in the game and really understand that market, so that you don't get into a situation where you're like, wow, I thought this was a lot better than it was, and it really wasn't.
And it's just important, right? Leverage somebody else's knowledge as much as you can, right? There's people who are a few steps ahead of any game you're playing, and go find those people that are where you want to be and they're doing the thing that you want to do, and start to leverage the time and the effort and the knowledge that they've put in, so that you can compress that for yourself and accelerate your progress.
Yeah.
There is one thing that can make or break your success with short-term rentals, and that's your ability to provide your guests with an amazing night's rest. We're taking all of the guesswork out of selecting the perfect mattress system. Personally, I have these custom mattresses in every one of my short-term rentals. We love them so much that we even got them in our own personal homes here in Utah. So visit VodiceySleepSystem.com and use the promo code PODCAST. It's all caps at checkout to get 55% off.
Let's get to a couple questions. We got two questions today. What is the optimum occupancy rate, percent for a short-term rental? So I think a lot of people out there are like, man, if I could have my property rented 100% of the time, that would be awesome. What is your take on that? And what's the percentage number you like?
One, it is absolutely not a one size, one occupancy rate across the board. Okay. There are so many factors on your optimum occupancy rate. In any market, in any property type, one of my most profitable properties I've ever had was a property that rented from Memorial Day to Labor Day. And our occupancy for the year was about 30%. And it was my most profitable property. There's other markets that 30%, you're not making any money. You have no chance of making money.
Right.
You go to, you know, every market has an average occupancy. And the key with occupancy is not optimizing your occupancy. The goal is to optimize revenue on a property. And that's a factor of occupancy and nightly rates. And they're inverse. The higher I charge, typically the lower my occupancy is going to be. I want to find that perfect balance for whatever market I'm in. I want to find that perfect balance where it has the lowest occupancy at the highest revenue. Because that means I've got the least wear and tear on my property, higher nightly rates, most revenue, most money in my pocket. And less wear and tear on my property means more money in my pocket as well, right? And so I think a lot of people focus on trying to optimize occupancy. Well, that's typically optimize occupancy. I can't say those two O words at the same time. Optimize occupancy by lowering rates a lot of times, and your occupancy starts to go up. Well, now all of a sudden, maybe your revenue is exactly the same as it was at a lower occupancy, higher rate, but you have way more wear and tear on your property. It costs you more money. And so the key is understanding your market specifically. You go to a market like Orlando, it's going to operate at a higher occupancy level than you would go to like that, the seasonal market that I was talking like about,
ski,
of an Idaho.
Ski, yeah. Just or, a, you know, strictly a ski property, exactly. Or things like that. Yeah. Cause they're all year.
They could be just as profitable. Like right. that property was really, really profitable because I had very little wear and tear on it. It was during that period of the summer, it was almost 80% occupied. Right. It was a really high occupancy for that short period of time, but overall it was a low occupancy for the year annualized. And so, and that's another thing you have to say, okay, if I was operating at 30% occupancy in the summer, I'm not making any money.
Right.
I've got to be able to maximize my revenue during the times when people are there. I always get really frustrated when somebody is, you know, talking and they say, well, if you're not over 65% occupancy, you're missing something. If you're not operating at 70% occupancy, you're missing something. The average occupancy across the US is 55%. That's the reality. Average across the US is 55%. Most markets operate somewhere between 40 and 60% occupancy. Usually you're going to try to optimize within that average occupancy in your market, but you're really trying to operate at a higher nightly rate, right?
Yeah.
There is not an optimum occupancy rate across the board. You really have to dial in one, your property type, your bedroom count, your market, the seasonality in your market, all those things factor in to figuring out what that optimum occupancy is compared to that nightly rate that you're trying to push.
Well, and I also think it's interesting too, because, you know, we've had people ask us, you know, I think I'm struggling and I'm not doing great in the market and, you know, making these numbers up, but, you know, I'm at 70% occupancy percent. Yeah. And then you take a look at the actual market and they're, you know, 15% above where their market is. And so they're actually doing pretty well the market.
But
so,
they heard somebody talk about they should be at 70% or 80. Yes. And it's like, exactly. You know, they're not probably optimizing their revenue.
Right.
And at the end of the day, I care how much money I'm putting in my pocket. Right. These are investments. And that has occupancy is a factor of that, but is absolutely not the only factor.
All right. Last question. Off the top of your head, name 5 states
put me on the spot
that you would consider investing in. So 5 of them, 5 states. Now we know within those states, there are probably a lot of submarkets. So there's a lot of areas. So let's just take a state as a whole, not dive too deep, but what 5 states would you just off the top of your head say, hey, I could invest in these.
Well, I'll just tell you the ones I'm looking at right now.
Yeah.
So, the markets that I'm looking at and interested in, one, Kentucky.
Okay.
There's some markets in Kentucky I'm really interested in. Wisconsin is a hot market for me right now. Ohio might be surprising. Tennessee, and then Georgia. Those are the top 5 states I'm looking at right now. The obviously some markets in there that I'm looking, but
there's reasons for those, whether it's a college town or whether it's you know, the local attractions or the seasonal attractions. There's a lot to do with that, but but the reason why I like that question is you could probably ask some other experts in the industry and they would have said 5 different ones.
Totally.
Yeah. Or they'll have 3 different ones.
Absolutely.
Or
whatever. And that doesn't mean my list is absolutely not like, oh, this is the end all be all. This just happens to be where I'm looking right now. Those are 5 markets that we're very interested in right now.
But I also think it proves that there are a lot of different markets that are still and very viable in the country.
Right.
Because you could have added Texas, Arizona, South Carolina, Florida.
Yeah.
A lot of these other states too, that a lot of people think of when they think
North
of short-term
Carolina,
rentals.
Great markets.
Yep.
And we love those markets too. There's a lot of great opportunities in those markets. Those are just the markets that we're looking at right now. I mentioned for different reasons outside of the major markets that some people are, you know, always come top of mind to some people.
Yeah. Well, that's all we got today, buddy. I would appreciate it if we don't have a Coke today in my drink. So I appreciate it if you wouldn't cheers me today.
Okay, I won't cheers you at the end. Yeah. We could do an air cheers at
right,
the end.
That's fine. Let's
all right,
do
I'll
that.
Just cheers the audience.
Yeah, just them.
Okay, just them. All right. All right, guys. We always appreciate you spending your time with us. We know how valuable it is. And thank you for spending it with us. At the end of every episode, I always ask you 2 favors. The first one is, if you are interested in spreading the word and you know somebody that would be interested in hearing these messages and these topics on short-term rentals and these conversations, share this show. Those things really do help us on these platforms. And this is the main our main platform to get our message out is our podcast. And so wherever you're watching or listening on, if you have more than 30 seconds, we'd sure love a review, a like, a share. All those things really do help us and we really do appreciate it. And as a reminder, those of you that have questions, make sure that you DM us or comment on whatever platform you're watching or listening. We'll make sure that we answer those on an upcoming episode. And then the final and the most important thing that I ask you at the end of every episode is to go pick that one thing you can do today, start building that life you don't want to take a vacation from. Cheers, my friends.
Cheers.
Air cheers.
Air cheers.
Air cheers.